You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, joined today here on Thursday afternoon by the OG Grant Schiller, fellow sad about baseball person. But how are you doing? How are you holding up?
Not great. I don't think that losing a player off of maybe the worst team in baseball should really bother me or hurt me, but it does. And I'm just really sad.
I think it should hurt. I mean, we knew they were trash. There are trash, though. And Joey is decidedly not trash. And you and I have been saying this for what feels like a decade. It's not quite, but it feels like it. And he is everything we hoped he could be and more. And then losing that because we suck is also decidedly not good.
Yeah, I mean, we can get into it, and I guess we probably will, but it sucks. And, you know, I've been saying, I guess on here even, for like the last 2 months, that they need to trade this guy, that he's going to be gone, and that it's not realistic for him to stay. But now that it happened, it sucks, man. Like, that dude was so much fun. He has the most raw power in baseball. He's a gold glove right fielder. He's a great base runner. He's a fun guy. And he's been our best player for a little bit now because the team is just terrible. He's literally the only good player on this team, or he was.
He will be once Kyle Gibson's gone.
Right. And now he's a Yankee. And, I mean, obviously I've been saying they need to trade him, so I can't bash the merit of trading him. Although
you are more than within your right to do so.
I'd like to get back to the extension talks at some point and into that possibility. But I understand trading him. It is so frustrating and just so sad that the franchise is at a point where that is understandable. You should not be at a point as a baseball team where your homegrown, all-star, best player is somebody you need to trade. That just shouldn't be the case. And it's just been a series of errors over decades that got us here, right? And it just sucks.
I'd say a decade. I mean, they had pretty good 5-6 year window of making smart moves. But since 2016, everything has been, to put it mildly, bad.
Yeah, but even the player development was bad before then, right? That's kind of why I threw decades in there, because
that's fair.
The player dev just hasn't been there for a long time. And that's the recent decisions since 2016, combined with a long time poor player development, leads to this terrible team.
Yeah, it really does. And you talked about the contract, and I want to get into that and your thoughts on that and kind of what you've seen from it. Because I mean, first off, Levi Weaver brought up the point that made me mad at Levi, even though he was right. But it's just mad for defending ownership and saying that they will spend, and they did spend. They did on some things. They didn't not spend on anything. Like, they apparently were willing to pick up the whatever $3 million, maybe $2.5 million. It's probably even closer to $2.5 million at this point in the season. Like, okay, cool. Oh, you're gonna pay Joey Rodriguez. What's he making? What, $2 million this year? So $750K. Oh, your generosity abounds. Wow, so cool. And like, he brought up them extending Beltre and Shinsu Ju, and like, yeah, that was a long time ago. The Shinsu Ju contract is off the books, and there are no big contracts on the books for next year, besides what they're gonna be paying Elvis. Well, that's it. I think they've got under $40 million on the books for this year, and well under next year. Like, and they weren't willing to go spend big on a guy who says he wants to be here.
Look, I don't know how much I can say. His extension demands were very reasonable to me. I think
What was the extension that you would have given him? Because I know the offer was, what, I think 5 years, 108, or was it 80 million on the table?
It was 5 years between 18 and 20 million a year, is what Evan Grant said. And that's a non-competitive offer. Never going to be signed. It is very typical of this ownership to throw a non-competitive offer out there. Maybe it's the front office, maybe it's the ownership, I don't know. But to throw a non-competitive offer out there so that you can say you tried. So what happened with Rendon, well, more than that happened with Rendon. Lots of bad things happened with Rendon. But they had to know that was never going to be signed. And that's so far below market value. I think 7 years and between 20 and 25 million a year gets that done. And really, because you're buying out his last ARB year, that's mm-hmm. just signing him through his age 34 season. That doesn't seem unreasonable to me when you have nothing else you're spending money on.
Yeah, literally nothing else. Even your other all-star, Kyle Gibson, is making, I think $7 million next year with $1.5 million in bonuses. So not even a maximum of $10 million for him next year. And Adolis Garcia, your other guy, is he even he's not even ARB eligible yet,
no.
right?
No.
For another, 3 years?
Yeah. Well, he'll probably be a Super 2, so 2 years.
But still,
let's be honest, he may not be on the roster in 2 years.
You watch your mouth. I can't go there right now. we might go there later. We can't go there right now. But now, this ownership group is acting like they're the Rays or the A's, or even Cleveland, the Guardians. And you don't have the good enough front office. I love JD and company, and Chris Young, I think, has done a pretty decent job, and they've done some better things lately. But you don't have the front office of a Rays, of an A's, of a Cleveland. You don't have the player development track record of those teams. You can't afford to be that cheap in a top five market. Sell the damn team or spend money. That goes for all owners, but especially these ones with this recent offer. And today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar has a new, amazing, limited time flavor, Built Grasshopper Cookie, available this week, July 6th through 9th. Get the new Built Bar flavor, Grasshopper Cookie. What does it taste like? This is Built Bar's version of the classic Thin Mint Cookie. All the flavor without all that sugar. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and just 5 grams of sugar. There are so many delicious flavors, including these limited time ones. They're so good. You got the double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, raspberry. Just absolutely everything that you could possibly want. They're just so delicious and so nutritious as well, Order today, get the Grasshopper Cookie or Raspberry or, whatever you like. I'm not going to tell you which one to get. Just get some Built Bar because they're all so stinking good. Our listeners can go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You will get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Not only was money on the table and an issue with the extension, but also the potential offer from the Padres. What are your thoughts on that and them not wanting to take some bad money in Eric Hosmer and in order to get pretty much consensus top 50 prospect in baseball in Robert Hassel?
Yeah, it really frustrates me. I mean, last time I talked to you, I was talking about how I really, really like Hassel and wanted him. And he was there. He was on the table. And it seems to be that the front office liked that offer best. And it fell apart because of money. And if you're trading your best player, who you're not willing to extend because of money, and you're not taking the best offer on the table because of money, and your payroll is $40 million in the top five market with a brand new stadium. Look. The the beats of this team, for a while, fairly pointed out that Rangers ownership has spent some money in the past. Like when they first took over, they spent money, right? In 2010, they spent money then. It's been a long time since they've done that. A really long time. It's clear that they don't want to win. They don't care about winning, and they don't plan to spend money. So that history is history. It's not current. And I mean, Bob Simpson's the guy who offered Baylor money to rehire Art Briles. Like, these are not people that I like as people or as owners. It's just sad that it's at this point, man. It shouldn't be. There's no reason it should be.
Yeah. And for me, I think it kind of hurts extra because, not to go full inside baseball writer, but I'm going to go there anyway, because I am one. But as a person who, you know, works in sports and covers a team that I grew up, the team that literally like got me in on sports. This happens with a lot of people, pretty much everyone in sports media. At some point you go from being a fan to a journalist and more objective. And there's all, even once you kind of make that switch, moreover, there's always one player. There's always one holdout, whether it's Dirk or, you know, if you're covering the Twins and it was Joe Mauer or whatever. There's always that one guy that was there before it was a job, when they just made you love the sport. And once they're gone or retired or not on your team or whatever, then like, that's it. That's kind of like the cutoff. And I knew it was Joey for me. Like, it wasn't like a surprise, and just, I wasn't ready for that moment yet to kind of move into the next phase of my baseball enjoyment. And it just, it hit a lot harder than I was ready for. And not until, you know, 1 a.m. because I was dealing with work. And thankfully, that craziness kept me from freaking out and being too depressed for at least a little while. So,
yeah, you got to have delayed depression. And
it hit hard at like 2 a.m. after the podcast was done.
You should have had another 7 years of it.
I mean, yeah, I probably should have.
It's frustrating that they not only don't have Joey Gallo anymore, but they didn't take the best package. And look, objectively, we can look at who they got.
I think we should.
But it's a little hard to be objective.
It's very hard, because I know you were just as invested in Joey as I've been.
Yeah, I mean, look, with my prospect evaluations and how I look at the big league team, I try and be as objective as possible. But Joey Gallo is my favorite player. That dude was such a blast to watch. Like, if you didn't like watching Joey Gallo, you don't have a heart. That dude is so fun.
That's what I said last night. If you are a Rangers fan and you don't like watching Joey Gallo, you can either check yourself before you wreck yourself or go to therapy. And, you know, checking yourself is a little bit cheaper. But, you know, I think both are equally valid options.
Like, it's just, you know, We saw him come all the way up, and so many of the prospects that we saw come up, right? They either got traded or they had issues that kept them from even reaching their 50th percentile. And here's Joey at, what would you say, his 80th, 90th percentile?
I'd say about 85 to 90, yeah.
Yeah, and
We knew he could do this, and we defended him all through it, and defended him even when he was doing it and people didn't get it and didn't appreciate how special it was. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season, it's in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or your phone and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest info. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
We never got to see him win. We never got to see even a full season at the height of his powers. Because 2019 is his breakout, and he's hurt for much of the back half. 2020 is 2020, and then this year he's back to himself, and he's traded midseason. And we didn't even get to see a full season of this dude be himself. And it just comes back to, it's understandable why they made the trade from this position. They should never have been in this position. And it just stinks. Because, I mean, as little as I've watched this team this year with how bad they are, that was the reason to tune in.
Honestly, I applaud you for doing that. And, like, I'm... Any Rangers fans that are out there that want to take care of your mental health and not watch this garbage team for the rest of the year, I do not blame you one bit. Obviously, I will be watching because it's my job. And, you know, I will fall on that sword for you people. I'll tell you what happened. And if there is something exciting, there might not be. There honestly might not be, like, 10 really exciting things happen for the Rangers for the rest of the season. Like, plays, moments, anything. And that's a garbage reality to be in. But man, this team was already bad with Joey Gallo and Kyle Gibson and, you know, Ian Kennedy. And all three of them suckers are going to be gone by Saturday.
I mean,
they also have a Joey Gallo bobblehead night on Saturday. It's just a little... I'm like, once I saw that, I'm like, oh, maybe they are confident, or maybe they're bluffing. And JD talked about why they traded him today as opposed to at the deadline. Because teams would have seen that the extension talks were stalling and might have gotten apprehensive. And so when they decided that they were as stalled as they could be, aka they offered a non-competitive offer and washed their hands of it when Joey didn't like it, or Scott Boras didn't like it, or both, then that's when they decided to pull the trigger on this. And that sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. Big time. That interview, his last game, was so sad.
I even watched it. I watched it and I was like, no, I was in just strong denial of, like, no. I even included in the last podcast. But I was like, no. He's just doing that just to be safe. And he said afterwards, like, oh yeah, I was just doing that, like, just in case, because I didn't do that last year because I didn't get a chance to do that because there's no fans, whatever. But, you know, just in case I do, I hope I can stay here. But I was just like, oh.
Yeah.
Joey.
It stinks, man. Like, it's been almost 24 hours now, and it still just kind of stinks, you know? I can't really put it in intelligent terms. It just stinks.
There are no intelligent terms for it. It just stinks. That's it. Stinks, sucks, blows. Some other verb. I don't know. But to make it hurt a little bit less, it's still going to hurt because there's no Robert Hassel. And, you know, one thing that gave me a little solace, I mean, not much because nothing can give me solace in these dark, dark times. But you talking about nobody's really seen any of these prospects in for basically you missed a whole year. So, like, what the hell does any prospect writer know? And, you know, I always have the philosophy of, like, in any sport, like, the people who actually are the best talent evaluators are the ones who are professionals and are getting paid by teams a lot more money than a Mel Kiper or a whatever draft expert or a baseball prospectus person, as great as they may be. So, I don't know. I kind of trust the Rangers scouts. And, you know, it seems like everyone was using the MLB pipeline and their list. And I'm like, I like them a lot, but usually I'm the least bullish on them of the big three of, you know, BP, VA, and pipeline. But I thought it was kind of funny that John Blake included the rankings of the prospects according to BA, which is the most positive of them. He said all four prospects are in BA's midseason top 22. So there is Duran is 6, Smith is 8, Otto is 20, and Hauver? Hauver?
Hauver? I don't know.
Hauver. I'm going with Hauver. Hover, whatever, is 22. Duran, Smith, and Hover have been assigned to Hickory, which is high A now, in case you forget, because I always forget. And Otto is going to AAA Round Rock. And, you know, I kind of give them, I don't want to give them credit for any of this because all of this sucks, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be too positive on a thing that I think is not good, and I'm genuinely upset about, but I like, as much as I like Hassel, and I think that still would have been a better deal, I like getting four prospect as opposed to one, unless the like one prospect is like, I don't know, like Wander Franco or something, which obviously you're not getting Wander Franco, but like just mathematically, even the best prospects have a lot of, you know, potential. You know, they could lose a leg to a shark, or, you know, fall off a mountain, or decide they don't even like baseball anymore. I don't know. Things, weird things happen to baseball players. They could high five somebody and break their thumb.
That could very easily happen. We've seen it's a high likelihood, actually. No, I mean, there's certainly a school of thought to that. I don't think I would subscribe to it for the Ranger situation right now. Mm-hmm. Just given that they, so the problem with their rebuild is they have a very deep farm, but they don't have impact talent. And without impact talent, you're never going to be the Dodgers or the Padres or the Giants or the Astros. Like, if this system turns out 40 big leaguers, but three of them are impactful, you're still a bad team, right? So
you're still the current Rangers.
Right, right. Well, the Rangers have zero impactful players now, but, you know.
Kyle Gibson's still here for another,
yeah,
24, 36 hours.
As we talked about for, like, the last 7 starts, he should not make another start for this team. And, yeah. You know, they just don't sell high. It's just not what they do, so, you know. But I guess back to the point is, to me, this trade might be good. I'm working with very limited info here, so I don't want to have a hot take. I don't want to have a strong take. It seems like people around the industry who have seen these guys think it's a good return. But to me, the concern is you went into this deadline in your rebuild with your farm system being very deep, but not having many impact guys. And you just moved your best guy, and your farm system is still deep and added no more impact guys. That's the concern.
So that's why you would have rather had Hassel?
Right, right. If we were where the Angels farm system is right now in rebuilding, I would take the depth, I guess. I think there's a real argument to take the depth there. In the Ranger situation, I think getting the best player, getting Hassel, the impact guy, is the right move.
If you were going for more, by the way, MLB Pipeline always works quick. That's the one thing that I do give them much credit for, is they never stop. So this is where they have the newbies in the Rangers system. Josh Smith is 7 behind Luis Angel Acuna. Ezequiel Duran is 8. Let's see. Kraus has moved all the way up to 9.
I don't think they've updated this. I think they just slapped him into the middle of what they already had. So I don't know if this is where they're going to stay when they update the list, or if this is just where they had him preseason.
Hmm. Well, they at least do have it updated with prospects and whatever. And then Hauver is 19 behind Ronnie Enriquez, ahead of Curtis Terry. Where's the last one? Is he on here?
Otto is 26.
Oh, there he is. There he is. Glenn Otto is hiding. I know you're not super stoked on any of these guys. Well, I'm assuming, or maybe it's just because you're hurt like I am. But if there were a guy who you were to get excited about, potentially, which one stands out?
I mean, they're all interesting guys. They all could be good. Obviously, they're all performing well this year, and they've all been risers, and the Rangers scouts or analyst team or both must like them. I don't know that. I mean, I guess Smith and Durant are the two big ones, right? I think Hover, anytime you have, it seems like he's likely an iffy corner outfielder. So that dude's got a really hit to provide value there. I mean, we've seen that with Calhoun. Otto is either a back of the rotation guy or a reliever, which, look, that's plenty valuable. Like, that's a good thing to have. But it's not a huge difference maker. Again, it's a depth, very good depth guy, not an impact guy. I mean, kind of tying it back to that. And then Smith and Duran are the two you're looking at where maybe, maybe not. But those are the two. Those are the two bigger names. So you need one of them to pop. I, without having ever seen him or watched any video on him, so with a huge grain of salt, I have some concerns on Duran. Just as a second base only guy with some swing and miss, that narrows the margin for error for his bat by quite a bit. So that's another guy who's going to have to really hit. So, I mean, we'll see. It's disappointing. None of them are in Frisco, so I won't get eyes on them until next spring, I guess. So I won't really be educated on these guys for a while.
That's a bummer. And it's just a bummer in general. The whole thing kind of sucks. But a hypothetical question, if you were to just go for one big guy in the Yankee system, but it's obviously not Jason Dominguez, because I feel like that's
okay. I was gonna say Jason Dominguez, easy.
Yeah, that's a fair guess. But if it wasn't for him, I mean, I don't know. BA didn't have their system ranked that high. BP had them at ninth before the season. BA I think had them at like in the 20s or something, maybe 19th.
If there's one guy I could have picked beyond Jason Dominguez, it's Volpe.
Who?
Anthony Volpe.
I've heard good things about him. He's ranked at 11th in
preseason. Yeah. I mean, these preseason ones just don't mean a whole lot.
He's also a 20-year-old shortstop in Advance A with pretty good tools around the board. So that seems exciting.
And he's slugging .636 with as many walks as strikeouts.
Well, that's nuts because they have his power as like a 40 down here. So that's fun. Wonderful. It's been. Yeah. I don't really know where else to go from here, but it just. I mean, Kyle Gibson's going to be gone soon. His return is going to be worse than this. Maybe the Padres will give up Hassel and Hosmer for Kyle Gibson. I don't think that's going to happen, especially since they're about to acquire Max Scherzer, according to reports before we recorded this, which, good for them. Go get it. Would have been nice to see Joey go on a playoff run there as opposed to having to shave his stupid face and play for the stupid Yankees and have the stupid Yankees fans not appreciate him or be nice to him.
Okay, do you think that Joey is the personality who's going to succeed in New York? Because I have concerns there because he's the type of person who is bothered by things. Like, he's a bright guy and he thinks a lot.
I'm worried.
If he's getting booed or if the media is really harsh on him, I could see that getting to him.
Well, I can tell you about the media. Friends of the pod, Lindsay Adler, who covers the Yankees for The Athletic, that small little website. I don't know if you've heard of it. We were talking last night about the trade, and I told her that she had to be nice to Joey. Otherwise, I would go up there and say mean things to anyone who said mean things about Joey. So she assured me that she'll take care of our son as far as the media goes. But as far as the Yankees fans go, and he grew up, I mean, talking with her, it seems like every player that like goes to the Yankees at some point like wanted to be a wanted to be a Yankee. But like he grew up wanting to be a Yankee, and like things do bother him, and I am not the person to try and say that they shouldn't. But that is a tough place to be, and they are not in a good place right now, and he is definitely being viewed as a cure-all, which he is not. They have a lot more issues that he can't fix. But I know he's going to go out there, and I bet in his first game he's going to hit a home run, because you know Joey in his debuts, the Frisco debut, the MLB debut.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why I wish we got to see him in the big games, because he has a feel for the big moment, and he likes to do big things. And you know, if the Yankee, the good thing about him being there is that if the Yankees do win a World Series in the next 2 years, I won't be mad about it.
Mm.
Which, well, actually, I don't know that it is a good thing, but so yeah. But
at least he's on Nastro.
Yeah, that's literally, like, if that happened, I would have not recorded a podcast. I would have taken my stuff, I would have driven to the woods, and I would have never come out and died there. That is 100% what would happen. And that didn't happen, so we'll survive. But any closing thoughts before we head out for the weekend? I'm sure if Kyle Gibson happens, then I'll have some podcast something about it, which I'm sure it'll happen at some point, but we'll see. But any closing thoughts?
Not really. I just want to go crawl into a ball and cry, and then have Frisco come home next week so I can see baseball without being incredibly sad, and get back to being able to, enjoy things and project the future.
Yeah, that is the only solace we have, is the future, and Cole Wynn looking nice, and maybe I don't know. Maybe things will be better. I'm sure things will definitely be better. And you can't lose Joey Gallo again. So that's the only real solace that I have.
That's what you think.
Oh my God. If he signs here and then has to get traded again, I will quit baseball. That is for sure a fact. But hope we could provide some kind of, catharsis and comfort, whatever. But that's going to do it for this week's editions of Locked On Rangers. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.